episode, or should I say the final episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas, and of course it is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello again.
So yeah, on this episode, like I said, it's the final episode, so we're doing a bumper. We are going to be taking a look at two films. First up, we will be taking a look at 1988's Die Hard, directed by John McTiernan, and following that will be 1988's Scrooged, directed by Richard Donner, surprisingly released in the same year.
That's kind of mad.
Yeah, didn't know that until just I read it out, but it's quite funny. So yeah, this will be an interesting one. So let's kick it off. Let's talk about Die Hard. Why don't we send in the car?
Welcome to Los Angeles. Have a very Merry Christmas.
So, your lady live out here?
About the past 6 months.
Why'd you come with her, man? What's up?
Because I'm a New York cop. Can't just pick up and go that easy.
John, I missed you.
Walk out of here or be carried out. But have no illusions, we are in charge.
Think, damn it, think.
We've got a fire alarm. I thought I told all of you I want radio silence.
Sorry, I didn't get that message.
Mayday, terrorists have seized the Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Possible crank call. Check the area confirmed.
No signs of disturbance, dispatch.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay. You hang in there. Man to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
I don't know, really know where to start with this one. Most people have seen it. Is it a Christmas movie? That is the debate that we're going to have for the next 20 minutes, probably. Because I would have said that it was a Christmas film about 10 years ago, and now I'm starting to talk myself out of it.
Oh my God, I would definitely say it is. I've never really got I've never understood the debate, really. It's set at Christmas. It's got a lot of Christmas songs in it. It's about family. It's still somewhat of a family, not a family film, that's not what I meant, but it's like there's a family coming, like John McClane's coming over for Christmas to see his family. Yes, then they do get attacked by terrorists, or well, actually they're just thieves, but they're kind of terrorists. I think this one gets a really harsh time about being a Christmas film because it is an action film. It was also released in like July as well, so like that's another thing. But yeah, there's so many other films that you could debate. Oh, this isn't a Christmas film. But this one gets it the worst because it's an action film. I don't know. I get people's points, I guess. But for me, it is. I watch this every Christmas. Even if I wasn't doing this podcast, I would be watching it anyway. I might actually watch Die Hard 2 this year because I've not watched that one in a while. That one's also set at Christmas. Yeah, this is my favourite Christmas film, and that's kind of why these last two we've left until last because are two of our favourite Christmas films. I love this film. I'm not always that big on Christmas films, and this one I can always watch every time. I still love it. It's very good.
Yeah, but this is an action film through and through. I mean, it's not a Christmas film.
It's an action film. Is Christmas a genre of film?
I would say so. Now, it's a genre. It's a genre movie, yeah. This is an action movie, not a Christmas film, in my opinion.
It can be
both.
Yes, it's
set at Christmas.
It can be both. Like, look at Violent Night.
Yeah, but the main character's fucking Santa Claus,
but
mate.
It's an action film, though.
But who's the main character?
Santa Claus.
Right. So is that more Christmas or less Christmas than Die Hard?
It's got Santa in it, so maybe, I guess, more Christmas.
See what I'm...
what would you call that? Would you say that's a Christmas film? No. That's not an action film, though, because it's got Santa in it.
Got a question for you. If Die Hard didn't, like, if this was just a regular office party, say it was like an anniversary or just something, but a party's happened, terrorists might still have decided to hijack the building. The plot plays out the same. The plot of this film doesn't
Christmas
change.
Films. So many Christmas films,
regardless of it being set.
There's so many Christmas films where you say, oh, if it was set at a different time, it would still work. I think that point is irrelevant. Because you're going to wipe out more Christmas films than Die Hard. You're going to wipe out a lot.
That's 100% accurate. I probably will wipe out a lot more Christmas films than Die Hard. I don't know. It depends what you classify a Christmas film, and that's everybody's opinion is
it's
subject
preference.
To change, obviously. Yeah.
Like, to us,
it's a preference.
The way I see it, is even if the film's not a Christmas film, if you watch it at Christmas, that is your Christmas film, I guess. Because I know people to watch films that are not Christmassy at all, but they watch it at Christmas, and it's just like, oh, I always watch it every Christmas. That's their like Christmas film. So yeah, literally, it's whatever the person thinks. Really,
it's fair, but
people are just really harsh
just
on Die Hard.
Opinion.
I feel like
I like Die Hard. Just when you classify it as a Christmas movie, that's just where my problem is.
I can't watch it. It's one of the greatest
action films ever, granted, and I won't argue against that. I just don't think it's one of the greatest Christmas films of all time. That's just
I think that's a fair point.
It's a fair take, I think.
But I can only watch Die Hard at Christmas. I do not watch Die Hard at any other point in the year bar Christmas.
Fair. Well, anyway, let's get into it a bit. So, the film is based off of Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe, and it was greenlit immediately by Fox as they were eager for a summer blockbuster. This happened in 1987, the year before. So there were obviously talks about it being a big blockbuster, and that led to probably more well-known movie stars being asked to play the role of John McClane, including Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, who both turned down the role.
Did you say Sly Stallone?
Yeah, Sly and Arnie both turned the role down.
Why?
Which is quite strange. I don't know why. I just know that they turned it down. Maybe they just didn't like the script, didn't like the film. I'm not so sure. Bruce Willis was probably best known for Moonlighting at this point, the TV show. And that's kind of like, is he playing like a romantic kind of lead in that, which is kind of a weird switch up to being a action star. He was actually paid quite a lot of money to be involved in the movie, $5 million, 1988. It put him as one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood straight away.
Wait, really?
Which is quite strange, but obviously he was popular on telly. People knew who he was.
So he started as a television actor then? Kinda.
Yeah, he was in Moonlighting.
I've never heard of the show. I just didn't know much about how he started. But this film made him the kind of big action star, or another one of the big action stars.
Yeah, well, it's sad that he's now no longer making films, but
he has retired.
There's a reason behind that. Yeah, he's officially retired from making movies. Yeah, he was in a couple. He was uncredited in a couple of films in the early 80s. First Deadly Sin, he was just a man entering a diner in The Verdict. I'm sure that's a Paul Newman movie. That is Sidney Lumet and written by David Mamet. And then he was in Blind Date, 1987, Sunset in 1988. So a couple of sort of bigger roles, and then boom, becomes John McClane. The character that he'll be most known for the rest of his life. And it's probably a great character to be known for, because it's actually Die Hard. Even I'm not a big fan of 2 or 3. I quite Die Hard 4, I quite like Die Hard 5,
awful.
Gladly, I've never watched it, so yeah.
Don't. I love all of them, bar the last one. The last one is bad. But no, I mean, Die Hard's my favorite action film. It's my favorite Christmas film, and this Die Hard is the series is my favorite action series. I absolutely love Die Hard, and I'm a huge Bruce Willis fan. I would take him over. I would actually. This is kind of an odd one. I would. He's not even comparable to like Schwarzenegger really in Stallone, but I would take his kind of action films over the other two. I mean, it's just so many good films. You've got like this. You've got like The Fifth Element, which I only watched recently, or fully watched recently, which is also a film I really fucking like. I'm just trying to picture Schwarzenegger in the role of Die Hard. It's kind of weird because the one thing about when this film came out is it was like, here you go, you've got an action star who's actually getting hurt. And in each fight he takes more and more damage and stuff like that. That's one thing. He doesn't feel invincible like a lot of...
Well, he isn't. He's just a cop. Like, yeah. He's not a superhero.
It just wouldn't work as well if it was anyone else because he's not as built as the other two. He's more human.
Yeah, but I think, granted, it's probably the right person for the role. I'm just surprised that Schwarzenegger turned it down based on... working with the director of this movie prior to this film. Obviously he's not in it, but he worked, John McTiernan directed Predator.
Oh, right.
That came out in 1987.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder why. I really
so
wonder.
It's kind of strange why he didn't come back.
I mean, I really wonder why he turned it down. I wonder if he could figure it out. I don't know. Probably not, I guess. There's probably a reason. Maybe he was working on something else or... Or just, I don't know, I didn't like the script or something, I don't know.
I don't know, it's like even like Joel Silver as well was a producer on Predator and this as well. I don't know, it's strange because I kind of just assumed that, I mean, Predator was such a good film that he would maybe have wanted to work alongside John McTiernan again.
Yeah, you'd think. But it was
strange
not to
one.
Be. I'm guessing Bruce Willis auditioned, right? Or did they just like, oh, I'm... Because he just seems like an odd choice to go for after that. But I'm very glad that he did get the part because I wouldn't want anyone else doing that role. I'm so good. It was funny, I was watching the film like yesterday. It was quite funny. I was talking about... This film started so many tropes in action films. Like, so many. It's like, you watch this film and it started so many cliches that you would never do in an action film now because Die Hard's already done it. And it's just funny. It's like, things have been parodied from it. Like, the whole part where, like, the FBI come in and he's like, the police officer's like, I'm in charge. And the FBI are like, not anymore. Like, South Park made fun of that. That's just like a typical kind of action thing, the film thing that a lot of things have. Just a lot of things. Even Violent Night, which just came out this year with David Harbour, that's pretty much doing Die Hard, but in someone's house and with Santa being John McClane. It's kind of crazy. We've not even mentioned the main villain in the film yet. He's also brilliant. Big Alan Rickman, rest in peace. He's been dead for, we were just talking there, what, 6 years?
Nearly seven.
Fuck, yeah. Man. Great actor.
He died in January 2016.
I remember that. I actually do remember that. Because 2016 was a rough year. You had like, around about the same time you had David Bowie die as well. It was crazy. People were just dropping.
Before we actually started recording, I was surprised to find out that Hans Gruber, who is the villain in Die Hard, was Alan Rickman's first film role.
I did not
More
know
known
that.
For television and stage, probably here in the UK, British actor. But yeah, I mean, Die Hard put him on the map, and he's probably now most known for being Severus Snape in the Harry Potter franchise. I would say his biggest role,
Yeah,
easily.
I would say so. I mean, there was like, seven
not
films?
Not his best role. Not his best role. So
what's his best role?
Films? Was it seven films? Remember, there was two for the last...
Oh, yeah, it'll be eight if you count part one and two.
Well, they were separate films, but yeah. What's his best role?
Yeah.
Ooh, Alan Rickman. What is Alan Rickman's best role? Obviously, I like Die Hard, even though I stand by it's not really a Christmas film, but I do really like the film. I don't dislike the Harry Potter films. It's just kind of weird. He's in Dogma. I quite like him in Dogma. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon led film. Kevin Smith. Have you ever seen Dogma?
I've heard the name.
Is
that any good? What's that even about?
The Matt Damon and Ben Affleck play fallen angels. And yeah, it's a bit of a strange movie. I quite like it though.
Do you know it was not that good a film of Alan Rickman? Love Actually.
Love Actually. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. It's quite funny. I mean, we both like Sweeney Todd.
Oh yeah, he's in
we
that.
We both think that's the best Tim Burton movie.
I do really like Sweeney
Todd.
He's
been in a couple of really really good ones. I think once he started doing Harry Potter, it was kind of that probably took up quite a lot of time. So I've not really seen a lot of him in it, but a couple of performances, yeah, he's incredible. And he also plays the Sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which was quite a big film in the early 90s, starring Kevin Costner. But yeah, first film role for Alan Rickman. The film was shot by the legendary cinematographer Jan de Bont, who went on to direct films such as Speed and Twister. Speed's an incredible movie. I absolutely love Speed. We're just talking about action movies.
This is our thing. I've actually never seen Speed.
Well, you're a dickhead, so. Yeah. But he obviously started out as a cinematographer and worked with the likes of Paul Verhoeven. Making films. And he's worked with Ridley Scott, John McTiernan a few times, Richard Donner. Yeah, he shot some really kind of well-known films. Basic Instinct, done Lethal Weapon 3, worked with Joel Schumacher on Flatliners, John McTiernan again on Hunt for Red October, which is after this, Ridley Scott's Black Rain. So yeah, he was a kind of well-known cinematographer back then, well, still is now. I knew him more of as a movie maker because I like Speed, and Speed's probably one of my top 10 action movies of all time. It's so good, and it has both Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves in it, so you can't really go wrong. Anyway, we're digressing, we're off the point, we're here to talk about Die Hard. But plot wise, New York cop comes home for Christmas to see his family, goes to the Nakatomi Plaza, they're having an office Christmas party, terrorists arrive, and there ensues John McClane piece by piece picking them off one by one. It's essentially it, isn't it? In a nutshell,
that is it. Yes.
He eventually gets the attention of the LAPD, who I quite like. His partner on the radio, he's
yeah.
pretty good. Al. Is it Al? Yeah, he's Al. Al,
he's
and he
Al,
calls
yeah.
him Roy. He was Roy for a bit of the film.
Yeah.
And then obviously they find out that he's John McClane. Thanks, and no thanks to the silly TV reporter who end up going to his house and shit and basically fucking them all off. They think they would have got away with it, but then obviously Hans Gruber finds out because he sees it and finds out that Holly Gennaro stopped using a married name, so he knows, finds out that they're obviously related or husband and wife.
Yeah. It's like two different things, like two dickheads caused that to happen. First of all, you've got Ellis is one of the people in the party who
he's a dickhead,
the coke fiend. He's doing coke in Holly's office, He seems he definitely seems interested in Holly as well, but he seems kind of up himself. And at one point in the film, he just decides, I'm gonna, you know, talk to Hans, and you know, he says, oh, he pretends to be John. He's like, oh, I invited John to the party. He tells Hans that it's John McClane. Because of that, everyone figures out, because he's talking over the radio, so even the police figure that it's John McClane. And Ellis just kind of gets himself killed. It's kind of funny, because like, John's just kind of like, well, I ain't fucking coming down. So he just gets capped.
He does, because he knows that he can't save him, and the FBI agents or the sergeant is a bit fucked off with it, and it's like, but what was he meant to do? Get himself killed? And the thing is Paul Gleason plays the deputy chief, and they fucking it's silly. Robert Davi, and that I recognise Robert Davi. He plays one of the FBI agents who appear, and it's Big Johnson and Little Johnson. Yes. Johnson and Johnson. It's weird.
Johnson. I like when he's in the radio. He's like, it's Johnson. He goes, no, the other one. <He's> like,
it's just a real good action movie. It's pretty much one location, keeps costs down, I suppose. Still quite an expensive film to shoot.
Yeah,
somewhere in the region of 25 to 35 million or something like that. It's in that ballpark anyway. I think it's he's got John McClane gets the sort of situation semi under control.
Yes.
And then it's when the FBI turn up and it just all goes to pot again, because they start doing things and it's like they treat it like a hostage situation, which it is, but they do everything by the book, and that's what Hans Gruber wanted.
Yes.
Because they were ready for it, and it just kind of plays out that way, and they know everything, and they're kind of one step ahead.
Which is
a bit of shit.
It's quite weird, because John's trying to get the police involved, and it seems like Hans is trying to stop that, but you realise Hans' plans needed the police to be involved anyway. Because he's just like, I'm pretty sure he says something like, it's just a matter of time, really. It's like, it was always inevitable, but they weren't expected that to happen then. Cause I think they need the police to get involved. It's quite a crazy plan. Like, Hans has obviously thought this out a lot, and everything, even with John McClane fucking everything up, everything outside of John McClane's fuckery still goes right.
Yeah.
They manage to break through all the vaults. The police get involved.
They need the power grid to be shut down.
Exactly.
Get into the last vault or the last lock. There's 7 locks to get into the safe. And they can do 6 of them using like techniques that robbers use. But the last one, this has been obviously set up like masterfully by Hans Gruber, who knew exactly what he was doing, but then again didn't expect somebody like John McClane to be in the building. Yeah, anyway, we have spoke at length on Die Hard. This is Kenzie's favourite Christmas film. Well, we will figure out whether it is still is or not in a minute or two. Well, probably in about 20 or so minutes. But yeah, do you want to just give ratings, and then we've talked
about this for like ages. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we both really like this film. I mean, I'll go first. I enjoy it. I think it's one of the best action films of all time. It's easily a top 10 action film, if not top 5. A great performance by Bruce Willis. He is the star of the show. He has the most screen time, and deservedly so, because he is the main man. It's an incredible sort of lead performance from somebody who wasn't really in the sort of limelight at the time. Just look at all of the famous actors that have turned the role down. I enjoy this film. I've really got no qualms with the film at all. I don't think it's nearly a perfect film. I don't really have any negative things to say about it. It's just a real great action film, and films like this don't really get made anymore, and it's a shame. Maybe they'll have a revival, and I'm kind of struggling to think of the last great action movie that wasn't any form of superhero related or stuff like that, or myth related, you know, films like that. I just wish these films still existed, but there's maybe just not the stars now that we had 30, 40 years ago, which is a shame, because I wish there was another Terminator around the corner, and that would be fantastic if they'd pulled it off. Not necessarily the Terminator, but a film like that. So yeah, I'm going to give this a 4.5.
Pretty much what I expected you to give.
But the caveat is I think this is a great action movie, and I'm judging this based on it as a movie, not as a Christmas film. If I was to judge this solely on being a Christmas movie, it wouldn't be a 4.5, but I can't say that it deserves to be less than a 4.5 because it is an incredible film.
Right. Well, I absolutely love this film. It's my favourite Christmas film. I do deem it as a Christmas film. It's my favourite action film. It still is, even though I've seen some absolute banging action films recently, which I absolutely love. This is still my favourite. I think it always will be. I don't think anything's going to top it, especially now that it's a bit I've watched it for like so many years now as well. I love Bruce Willis. He's so good in this film. All the actors in this film are great. All the characters are all good with great dialogue. There's so many good bits of dialogue in this film. So many of it comes from Mr. McLean himself. There's so many yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. You've got "Welcome to the party, pal," and stuff like that. There's just so many good dialogue parts. "Thanks for the advice," that's one of my favourite ones. I love that part. So yeah, dialogue, it's great. The action's still great. Like I think it's aged very well. Most of this film is quite practical, so it ages pretty good. I think this action was different from the action films at the time. It made the main character seem vulnerable compared to being big muscly man who's pretty much, if he was shot by a bullet, it would probably bounce off him. So yeah, I love this film. It gets me in the Christmas spirit. Like I say, I now live by these words: it ain't Christmas yet until I see Hans Gruber fall out the Nakatomi Plaza. That's true. So yeah, I absolutely love this film. It's easily in like my top 10 films of all time. I'm easily giving it a 5. I love it. It's a brilliant film. Fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to give it any less. But fair, I think it's a fair one. And just before we move over on to Scrooge, the infamous line, "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker," wasn't written in the script. It was Bruce Willis who added it, and he thought it was just a joke and didn't obviously think it would have stayed in the film. But it did, and it's became one of the most quotable lines of all time in the movies. So yeah, that is it for Die Hard. We are going to swiftly move on to my favourite Christmas movie of all time, which is kind of weird. That's subject to change because I've watched a lot of films now in the last month, so this could change. But yeah, we're going to move over on to Scrooged.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give.
That's my cab!
Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much.
Fire these people!
But it's Christmas.
Bah humbug.
You are going to be visited by 3 ghosts. Expect the first one tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou.
I'm the ghost.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
I had a funny feeling.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy.
Have you tried staples?
Don't you dare.
She made me do purees.
Maybe?
Yeah, probably. Oh, I'm having the weirdest day.
It's never too late. You can always change if you want to.
I've never liked a girl enough to give her 12 sharp knives.
For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
Did I forget something, big man?
God blesses everyone.
So yeah, this is another adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It features Bill Murray in the lead role as a TV executive, Mr. Frank Cross. And yeah, he's basically a kind of modern take on Scrooge, which is kind of funny because it's kind of, now that we've seen Spirited, it's, with Scrooge was always like a nice person, but he obviously changed over the years. I like this film. I think it's a good adaptation of the film, of the novel, because I prefer this honestly to some of the kind of straight adaptations. You know, like films that are just called A Christmas Carol, where you assume they're just going to be faithful adaptations. I like how they've kind of made this a bit different.
Yeah, this is a fully first watch for me. I had seen like tiny bits from this film. I was expecting this film to be pretty good. It's Bill Murray, and I mean, I've not heard too much about it, but I know quite a lot of people like this one. So I was kind of surprised that I really didn't like this one that much. I mean, I like Bill Murray, and Bill Murray's puts in a good performance, and he seems like he's having a good time. But I just don't think this is a very good adaptation of A Christmas Carol. I mean, it pretty much still is just A Christmas Carol, but just done more in a kind of present day time, or well, I say present day in the kind of late 80s time.
1988 came out, same year as Die Hard. It's a modern retelling of A Christmas Carol. One of those is coming out on Sky, if not is out already, called Carol. I think these do happen, but I feel as though that thing that's coming out in Sky is kind of going to be a lot similar to this, because it's kind of modernising it and it's kind of a retelling, and I'm probably never going to watch it, but
it doesn't look very good.
Yeah,
but I kind of feel the same. But this one, I was just kind of shocked. I was expecting to like this one. I don't know. I just don't think there's I just don't think it's done very well. I think my biggest issue with it is Bill Murray's transformation through the film doesn't feel very good. So he starts off as being a kind of dick, and for the most part, when you see him in his past, he still kind of seems like a bit of a dick. It almost feels like they're spoofing on Christmas Carol and actually doing A Christmas Carol, I feel like, really. That's what I find kind of odd about it. Because they go for, it does the same things. It's like, instead of like being his like friend Marley, it's like his old boss, who's like, oh, we're going to get visited by three ghosts, bloody, bloody, blah. Then you get the past, present, future. And it takes him to his past. He sees his mom, he's like, oh, I'm not going to care for this. And he tells him, oh, but you're going to cry. He does cry and stuff like that. But then he goes back. Weirdly enough, it seems like Billy Murray's more going insane than changing throughout this film, which is very odd. But my biggest quarrel with it is just the final part. It's once he seems like he's not changed at all, and then does future, and then comes out of it. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. All he's saying is he alive? He's just happy, and he's just like, ah, and then it goes to the final part of the film, which is just, it was just a bit over the top. It was a bit mental, and then it just ends with them all singing, and it was just like, nah, this isn't working for me at all. It's it really didn't hit with me very well. I like Bill Murray's performance in this film, but like, no, it just really didn't work for me. I didn't like it. And I know obviously this is like, I guess this is one that you're quite big on, but for me it didn't hit.
Yeah, but like as a Christmas film, like I mean, Die Hard's a better movie. But that, like, if we're just purely if I wanted to watch something that's a Christmas film, I'd watch this probably over quite a lot of films. Now not so much. Now there's probably a few films on the list that we've done that I would watch over this. Spoiler alert. But that'll come very soon. Yeah, do you know what? It's fair. Now looking back in it, and maybe when the last time I watched it, I mean, I do try and watch this every year, and I probably did watch it last year, but now that I've started doing the podcast, watching films a bit differently, and obviously trying to sort of put them in words can be different to just sitting down and watching it and never thinking about it that way. I can get where you're coming from. It is paced a bit weird. His journey through past, present, and future, there seems to be no character development. I do agree with that now. So it's maybe not the best adaptation of A Christmas Carol, but I do still quite like it. It's probably got that kind of 80s vibe, which I quite like about 80s movies, both the good ones anyway. I don't know. There's something about this film that I still like, but I can see your issues with it. And I have my own issues with it as well. I mean, I don't think the film's all that terrible, you know, but I think if you're comparing it to Die Hard, you had somebody like John McTiernan at the helm of the project who's well known for making movies of that style. Whereas the director of this is Richard Donner, who we done a podcast on a horror film that he directed. He directed The Omen. He also directed Superman, The Goonies, Lethal Weapon. He's kind of jumped around the place instead of maybe just picking one genre and sort of mastering the craft, so to speak. Not to say that he's a bad filmmaker, because that is far from the truth. He has done some really, really great films. But, yeah, I think if you look at this in retrospect, it's probably not all that good, but I still enjoy it. So maybe I'm just biased to it, and that's fair. You get people will be bias towards films that they've just got a soft spot for, and this is one of them in terms of Christmas movies.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, I don't know. I was like I'm comparing it to like other, like comparing it to Die Hard or anything. Really, I'm comparing it to other of its type, which is Christmas Carol films. And I just can't get over the fact that this film really feels like a spoof to me more than an adaptation. I think if the comedy in this film works for you, you'll quite like it. If it doesn't, I don't think there's much else too much to enjoy about it. Bill Murray, like I said, does do a good performance. It's Bill Murray. If you like Bill Murray, you'll like his performance. He kind of plays Well, for the start of the film, he seems like a proper dick, but that's the thing I found kind of weird about this film, is that some parts of this film, he just didn't seem like he was that bad. Like, he didn't seem completely Scrooged. Well, that's the name of the film. That's weird. I mean, he didn't seem like completely like an Ebenezer Scrooge type. It's like, there's some parts where you kind of see him when he's talking to his, like, I'm guessing that's his, like, ex or whatever, and stuff like that, where he doesn't seem that bad, but he clearly cares a lot about making money. Which is his main thing. He's, I guess, greed or just working. He's a kind of workaholic, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't seem like that bad. He seems more of a bit of a dick at times. It could be quite bad. Like, he fires that guy at the start of the film, which there's no kind of, that's weird. That guy gets fired and then kind of goes on a journey of just getting like dunked on, and then at the end of the film he just tries to shoot Bill Murray. It's crazy. And then he comes at the elevator and they team up and they hold the whole, like, place hostage.
Yeah.
And then it just ends with them all singing. And that's where I kind of got to the point where I'm like, all right, I'm not really buying, like, why that went that way. I don't really get it. It's a bit weird.
I think there's a couple of problems with this film. Having read about it, to sort of talk about it on the podcast. One is there was reservations from the Richard Donner, the director, about turning A Christmas Carol into a comedy, because this is kind of what they've done. A Christmas Carol is a kind of sad story of one man's kind of journey backwards through time to kind of become a better person, whereas this, it is like an 80s comedy, and so it is a bit of a different take that way, and I think there's people out there that probably wouldn't buy into it, and I think you're one of them, and that's fair, and that was there from the start of the production, and I think maybe it didn't necessarily quite hit the mark in that terms. Also, one big major problem was just how much involvement Bill Murray had in this film. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of took a few years off after Ghostbusters. So 1984, he kind of didn't really make anything. He was in a small cameo in 1986's Little Shop of Horrors, and like he came back for this. Apparently, he had lived a lot of his lines. He would only sign on for the movie if the script was reworked. Apparently, they shot a lot more footage, but it all ended up in the cutting room floor. I think he might have had a hand in that. I think sometimes when an actor gets too involved in the technical aspects of filmmaking, it isn't necessarily great, unless some people get it right. Granted, some actors get it right, but yeah, I don't know. Would this have been a better film if he just kind of let the filmmakers and the people involved in the production make the film that they wanted to make and him star in it? But yeah, I mean, he did have a bit of power at this point, you know, and he was kind of really quite a famous comedic actor, and this was kind of the first film where he'd kind of been the star of it, you know, carrying the film himself, like being front and centre. Even the movie poster is just Bill Murray. It's just Bill Murray on the poster. Bill Murray, Scrooge, I think this is the first time he was kind of leading a film all by himself. And that might not have necessarily worked in this film. Maybe if he had a kind of partner in crime to riff off, it might have been a bit better. But then again, it wouldn't have been A Christmas Carol, because that is basically all about Scrooge. So yeah, I think those are the two points I would say that's maybe made this kind of not turn out as good as it potentially could have been.
I do feel it could be better. I was quite excited for this one as well. Like, I think there's some things that I kind of like about this film. Like, the Ghost of Christmas Past, the way they done him was interesting. Like, the taxi cab, that was kind of cool. I liked that. The Christmas Present, I didn't like at all. I didn't really understand. She was just like a fairy who just keeps on beating up Bill Murray, which I didn't really find funny or get why she was the Ghost of Christmas Present. Why, again, why was the Ghost of Christmas Past like a taxi driver? But Ghost of Christmas Future kind of was weird. He has very little time. He looks like that Grim Reaper guy that was in the thing, except he's got like a more TV head. It's like his head keeps on like facing. He doesn't really do much. He's in it very little. He's about to attack and then or attack. He's about to appear, and then of course Bill Murray starts getting shot at, and then he goes to the elevator. He ends up next to him, and he just takes him to like the grave straight away. That last little part was done kind of well. How they done it, made him like, oh, whose grave is that? I mean, you obviously know who it's going to be and stuff like that. And then he's like, I try to stop it, and then suddenly he's in the coffin. That was a kind of cool thing to do. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm kind of reaching to find a lot of things that I liked about this. I really feel like it could have been better. I just, the humor did not really hit for me. Maybe, I don't know if it was Bill Murray having so much good, but I can maybe see that could have maybe affected it. We'll never know for sure, but sometimes an actor having too much control is bad, like Jonathan said, it's true.
Yeah, also, like, kind of reading about it, I think they wanted to try and get as much comedic actors involved in it. You know, Bobcat Goldthwait, who plays Elliot, the guy who gets fired, I mean, he's a comedian. I mean, Carol Kane, who played the Ghost of Christmas Present, she'd appeared in, like, sort of comedy shows, and the part of Ghost of Christmas Past was meant to be, or I don't know if it was offered to Sam Kinison, who is a comedian. Maybe if he got the role, if the people that were all kind of envisaged to play the roles from the get-go all signed up, maybe it would have had a bit of a different comedic output. I think if you've got somebody like Bill Murray, who is a comedian and can do ad-lib, that's great, but again, you would need some counterbalance to that, and if he'd had other comedians to riff off, it might have landed a lot better. But yeah, it got close, but it's probably not as good as it could have been.
It's trying to be too funny, I feel like.
But like, I think films like this in the 80s were trying to be funny. I can't knock it for trying, but yeah, I can see, like I said, I can see where you're coming from, and I can see why there's people that like it, like me, and there's people that probably don't really like it all that much either. So yeah, I'm not, this isn't really a technical wonder either, like there's no like technical wizardry, you know, like some films.
There was one effect I did like.
What was that?
When his boss like pushes him through the window, that was kind of cool. I like that. I'm not entirely sure how that worked, but it looked it worked kind of well.
Did you not just end back up in his office though?
He does end up back in his office. Yeah, he falls, but like it's just the way he pushed him like through the window.
Through the window.
I think it just looked kind of cool. How do you feel about the ending of this? Or like the last, like once, like the final part where he goes in front of the camera and everyone's held hostage, and then they all start, the ends with them all singing and like dancing.
Yeah, he has like a big monologue. I don't know. It lingers for too long. I think it's probably a good solid, I don't know, 3-4 minutes of screen time of just him speaking to camera, which, granted, if it was the right film, monologues are great, but in a comedy film, no, I don't think it works.
The dancing as well, it was too much. It was just like everyone was dancing, even people who shouldn't be dancing should be annoyed. They're all just like, hey, it's the end of the film, hit the gritty. Merry Christmas. Everyone was held hostage like 2 seconds ago, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they certainly weren't hitting the gritty in 1988, but
Their version of the gritty then.
Doing the Harlem Shake or the Harlem Shuffle, or I don't know. Fuck, I was just making up that's a real dance. But yeah. I don't know, I think I've said enough and said my piece about the film. Like I said, it's a modern day take on Christmas Carol. If like me, you kind of know what that means, basically he gets met by three ghosts and goes through a kind of change of heart as a person, but it all kind of happens too quick towards the end of the film, because he maintains the same kind of stony demeanor and doesn't seem to be very empathetic about things that he'd maybe done, or you know, the choices that he'd made. But yeah, I think we've probably said enough on this. It's a bit of a shorter one than the Die Hard talk. I think Die Hard's got a lot more in it to sort of sit and chat about, whereas this is a pretty simple film. If you like Bill Murray, I know there's a bit of controversy surrounding Bill Murray at the moment, sadly. I know that the upcoming directorial debut of Aziz Ansari has been put on hold because of Bill Murray. He was starring in it, so I don't really know what's happening there, sadly. Is it Aziz Ansari that's making a film? Have I just made something up?
I'm not too sure. I didn't know he was working on something at the moment. I know about the Bill Murray, the dodgy Bill Murray stuff that's been coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of actors that are kind of retroactively getting pulled up about stuff now.
It's getting to everyone. If you've done something, it's probably going to start coming out now. I think a lot of actors and stuff like that are kind of, you know, they're getting a bit of fear, starting to sweat a little bit.
Yeah, as you know, Zari, I did get it right. It's a comedy drama. It also stars Seth Rogen and Kiki Palmer, but yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's called Being Mortal. Just wanted to say that. I still quite like Bill Murray. You know, we brought up the controversy surrounding Chevy Chase when we've done National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We kind of have to touch on these things. Yeah, if you're into film and film news, you'll kind of know what's going on with Bill Murray. There's a lot of allegations about how he is on set. Granted, there's been a miscommunication in his part. Like, he thinks that it's just, yeah, he thinks he was doing something silly and funny and as a comedian, and it's just not been taken that way. But then again, you can't just go around doing what you want. You've got to kind of think of the bigger picture. So yeah, it's not as tainted as somebody like a Kevin Spacey quite yet, but you never know what could happen, unfortunately. Or you could just be Army Hammer and get fully cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not bring up that kind of shit on a nice festive and Christmassy podcast. So we just jump into the ratings of this film then. I'll go first. No, did I go first for Die Hard?
Yeah, you did.
Go first.
Yeah. I wasn't big on this film. I was kind of watching it, I didn't really know what I thought about it when I was watching it. It really hit me when I got to the end of the film and I was watching it with Moxie, and he said something, and that really is exactly how I felt. And he went, "That was kind of shit." And I was like, "Yeah, it kind of was." I'm like, I'm just surprised. I've watched quite a few different versions of The Christmas Carol. I think so far, this has been the worst one I've watched. It's more spoofing it than being an adaptation. It still follows like the things, but it just doesn't hit it for me. I've already been quite harsh in this film already, but I guess kind of I think a lot of my complaints about it are kind of fair. My main one being that just the journey for the Scrooge in this film, or he's not called Scrooge in this film, but like Bill Murray, is just not done well enough. It's too quick, and then it just is a bit wacky. It's an 80s film. Some of these films sometimes don't age as well as other ones. Maybe Bill Murray shouldn't have as much control over how the film would change and stuff like that, but we'll never know that for sure. But as for me, if you're a fan of Bill Murray, maybe you should go and check it out. You might like it, but you've probably already seen it, to be honest. I think it's the one that's quite popularly seen. I'd probably give it a 2. Like, I was wondering if I should get it to maybe average, but I think it is, but I feel like it is a below average film. It just did not work for me.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, one thing I will say positively about it is at least it was a holiday film released around the holidays, you know, 23rd of November 1988, unlike Die Hard July, fuck you, summer blockbuster. Yeah, but Die Hard's a superior film, not going to lie. I'm probably quite in line with the Rotten Tomatoes audience score. It's a 71% there, 69% tomato meter. It's not blown anybody out of the water. Like I said, Richard Donner as a director has done far superior films to this. It's just a shame that maybe Bill Murray kind of was too involved in the project overall. Sometimes you should just do the job that you're paid to do and do it well. I think this would have hit differently if they could get the actors or the comedians that they maybe would have initially envisaged in the roles. And I think that riff back and forth and the camaraderie with comedians doing their thing does seem to work in films. It's just this didn't seem to hit like that, sadly. Would have been interesting to see Sam Kinison as the Ghost of Christmas Past in this. That might have added an extra dimension, of specifically in the sort of comedic fashion. But yeah, I still really like this film. I mean, it's another nostalgic bump probably for me, but like I said, I'm probably right in line with the audience score at 71%. So in our metric, that turns it into a 3.5, which I think's fair. I know Kenzie didn't really like it. I enjoy it. It's a slightly different modern twist on A Christmas Carol. And if you haven't seen it, you probably have. But yeah, this was probably my favourite Christmas film of all time. But that's now subject to change as we move on to talk about our top 10 of the 23 films that we've watched. There was maybe 24, but we had to cancel one due to difficulties working, etc. That was the Santa Claus. But yeah, we'll just talk about the films that we've done. So yeah. Let's dive into that.
Right. Well, so we have a list of a bunch of films. Well, all of the films that we have done for this Christmas part, and we've got all the ratings. And pretty much, if you watched the Halloween one, we just kind of combine our kind of ratings together and kind of match where we think or what the top 10 rank should be. We had a little bit of trouble with the Halloween one, but I think as we started putting together, I think we were fairly happy with where most things went. I know I was. I know there was some things where Jonathan was kind of one a bit iffy, but for the most part, I think we were pretty happy with our top 10 list together with the podcast for the Halloween one. Yeah. So I wonder if this one's going to be easier or harder. All I know is I think like the Halloween one, we're going to have an easy number one and two. But we'll see. There's some films here that Jonathan preferred over I did. There's some that I preferred over he did. And there's a couple where we both really liked or we really didn't like. Where do we start?
The protocol is to talk about the films that are definitively out of the running.
Yes. Which there is a few.
So if we're taking it the average between our individual ratings, which is what we do, the films which will not make the top 10 are Elf, Jack Frost, Miracle on 34th Street, Gremlins, After Christmas, Love Actually, Scrooged, Office Christmas Party, and Christmas with the Cranks.
Yes, everything three and under, pretty much.
Everything three and under, for an average rating. So that leaves us with 14 films. So four need to go.
That's not too bad.
That is not too bad. Like I said, we've done 30 for Halloween, so there's slightly more to choose. But this one, so we've narrowed it down to 14.
All right, well. Looking, there's one I think I can easily think should go.
Oh, it's straight away.
Yeah, for me anyway. I don't know about you. And that would be Polar Express.
I'm happy to go. Take it away. I think the Zemeckis film that stays in the top 10 deserves to be the one in the top 10.
I think there's a better Zemeckis Christmas film, and I think that should be in it, and not Polar. I wasn't really big on Polar. So I know you were a bit bigger on it than I was.
Yeah. but that's just the way it is.
I don't think it's that good. Animation wise, it was good, but the animated Christmas Carol film that Zemeckis done, what, 5 or so years later, was just better for me. So yeah. How do you feel about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
I mean,
because I know you like this one.
Yeah, but
so I don't want to say anything before, like,
we're not miles out on it, you know. I mean, I've already lost Scrooged, which was my favourite film coming out of this. I don't necessarily know if I want to lose another one of the films that I watch every year.
I think I can wait and see and maybe see where we ever.
I want to strike Bad Santa.
Right, okay.
Because I would actually retroactively maybe put that further down my own list. Because I think if you're wanting a kind of adult-themed Christmas film, The Night Before is the better film.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that statement. Night Before is better. I do quite like Bad Santa a lot, though.
But the thing about Bad Santa is just lives and dies in Billy Bob's performance. That's it for me, really. I think with The Night Before, it's better across the board.
Yeah, okay. No, yeah, right.
I mean, it's not a million miles away from the top 10. It's just, I mean, we could leave it as a discussion. Like, we have some definites that are probably making the list then.
Yeah. Let's talk about the definites before we talk about the maybes then.
Right, okay. So, definites for me are Claus, It's a Wonderful Life, Die Hard, White Christmas, Disney's A Christmas Carol, The Christmas Chronicles, and Home Alone.
They're the definites.
Yeah, they're the ones that are rated, like, as an average, the highest.
Yeah, okay.
So that's 7 films.
Yeah, they're definites. I would probably say that The Night Before will probably make it in.
Right, that's fine.
And
so what, do we have 8?
I'm looking at here. I'm looking at The Grinch and Jingle All the Way.
Yep. What about The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, fuck.
I mean, that's low down for me. Like, that's kind of a bottom tier for me. I mean, I gave it a 3.
I really didn't like. What's that?
I gave it a 3, you gave it a 3.5, but I mean, average it's like 3.25. But I think it's the one. It's the lowest kind of down. Is it better than Christmas Vacation? I don't know.
For me it is, but I don't know about you.
I gave Christmas Vacation this kind of nostalgic bump, and I think I kind of know where I got my love for it. I was talking to my dad about Christmas films, and he's like, this is one of the films that he watches every year as well, National Lampoon's. And I'm like, it's got... I quite enjoy it, but do you know what, right, for the sake of arguments, or let's not argue too much about it, I'm happy to lose it. It's on the outside just peeking in, right? So that leaves 4 movies that need to become 2, which are The Grinch, Jingle All the Way, Bad Santa, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That was.
So we need to lose 2 of those 4.
Those 4 were Nightmare Before Christmas, Jingle All the Way,
Bad Santa, and The Grinch. Well, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
All right. Okay. I'm happy to lose Bad Santa.
Right. Also, right, before we make this decision, is there anything that should come up? No, you'd be quite happy that we're losing, like, Elf and, well, obviously, like, Christmas with the Cranks, Office, Christmas Party, Love Actually. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Scrooged is gone, even though I like it and kind of rated it a 3.5, but averagely, democratically, it's a lower rated film between the two of us. Gremlins, I wasn't all that sold on. I'm quite happy for it. I mean, it's not a terrible film, it's just not quite cutting it. Arthur Christmas, I'm quite happy that it's not making the list. Love Actually, definitely not. Elf? I mean, is it Elf? Is like Elf one of these films that...
Elf's good, but like... I kind of feel like a lot of these other ones are better than Elf.
Well, so would you rather watch the three that we're discussing between over Elf?
Those three ones were...
Nightmare Before Christmas, Jingle All the Way and the Grinch. Would you watch them before you watched Elf again?
Yes.
Right, okay, that's fair.
Because I've seen Elf too much.
Right, that's fair. That's fair. That's all I need to know. Because I think things like Jack Frost, as much as we really kind of bought into it...
I like it, but...
Yeah, I'd probably still watch the three above it.
I'll just listen to the music from the film.
Yeah, I mean, the music's great. Jack Frost Band. Check them out if you haven't already.
Michael Keaton, bring it back.
Yeah, Michael Keaton, yeah. Start a band again. So we're left with three. We need to get rid of one.
Out of the I'm right. This is the Night Before Christmas, Nightmare Before Christmas, Jingle All the Way,
and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Yeah,
and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I want Jingle All the Way in the top 10. This is a hot take because it's probably not. Like,
it's a hot. It's a super like hot take. But low I like read. It.
I enjoy it so much.
It's fun. It's just fun. It's so fun.
Fuck it. It's making it. It's happening.
I kind of feel bad for Nightmare because there's a lot of things that's nice about it and I do like it. It's unique.
Yeah, but it doesn't have Jim Carrey. It's out. The Grinch makes it.
But the Grinch is... I love... like the sets of the Grinch are so good.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like the Grinch is just a better... I like stop motion animation, but I prefer... live action films over it, and I think the Grinch is just better.
Yeah, the Grinch is making it. Yeah,
there we go.
The Grinch is good. I like the Grinch. I like it.
So they are.
It's a bit. Watching it again, a lot of the humor is a bit over the top and childish. Some of it doesn't really hit, but overall, I just think it was a very well made film.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of my favorite things about it, and also the makeup and shit. Like the Grinch looks amazing. Yeah, a bit out of his like torture for Jim Carrey to do, but like it looks great. So yeah, I'm happy for that.
Right, so we've now got 10 films. This is where we put them in order from 10 to 1.
Yes. This is true. Okay. So the question is, what's going straight to the number 10? And I've got a feeling I probably know what I would put at number 10.
What would you put at number 10?
Fuck. Okay. I was gonna say something, but actually I don't know. I was gonna say Jingle All the Way.
Right. Fair.
But would I put Grinch at number 10, then Jingle All the Way? Nah.
I think Jingle All the Way made the top 10 is good. I think it's
just made it.
I think
it's
fair that it's 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 10. Yeah, Jingle All the Way is number 10.
Then, looking at the films that are on the list, I would then. Probably, it is a toss up between The Night Before and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
For the next. They're probably just going to be interchangeable anyway, so. And then that's kind of where the real discussion starts to happen. So, what do you want higher? I think I would quite like The Night Before slightly above The Grinch, just purely because it's such a good adult themed.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
It's a Christmas film. You don't really get all that many good ones, and this one's actually quite fun and enjoyable. And it's got a lot.
I don't think I like the Grinch as much anymore. Yeah.
If you just look at the sort of trio of actors that play the main characters, it was quite under the radar for me. Like I said in the podcast, it was quite surprising that I didn't know about it until I got sort of told about it. And yeah, I've liked it both. Two or three times that I've watched it, so yeah, I still like How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This is really difficult, but anyway, so it'll be so The Grinch 9, Night Before 8, Yeah. Right, this is where the conversation kind of gets interesting.
This is where it gets controversial.
Yeah.
And it's... holy shit, okay. I think Disney's A Christmas Carol should go next.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Home Alone, but no, I think Home Alone deserves to be higher than Disney's A Christmas Carol.
Right, okay. Well, the next two I was gonna toss up between would be A Christmas Carol and The Christmas Chronicles.
Okay, right. So I'm guessing you think Home Alone's better than The Christmas Chronicles.
I gave them both a four.
Both of a four.
And I there's something about Home Alone.
Home Alone's really good. I'm happy I finally watched it.
It's got that kind of intangible quality, and I mean, Macaulay Culkin is so good in that film. Those three, the dynamic between Marv, Harry, and Kevin is just, it's just one of those films. I really do enjoy Home Alone, and I know there's loads of people that probably got it as maybe their favourite Christmas film, so I think it deserves to be in the top five conversation. So it just goes, it's between Christmas Chronicles and A Christmas Carol. You levied, so what would you put above, would you put Christmas Chronicles above Disney's A Christmas Carol?
Absolutely.
Right.
I feel quite strong. I really like the Christmas Chronicles, actually. It was actually, it kind of slapped. It kind of did. Kurt Russell was great.
Kurt Russell was good in it. Santa. Really good. Right, that's fair. I'm happy with that order. So it's Disney's Christmas Carol at 7, Christmas Chronicles at 6. So we're now into the top 5. That leaves us Home Alone, White Christmas, Die Hard, That's a Wonderful Life, and Claws. This is where it gets tough. Did we just put Home Alone at 5? I think so.
So the other four is Claws, It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas,
Die Hard.
And Die Hard. Yeah, I think Home Alone would have to. I think Home Alone's hitting.
See, I would have Home Alone over White Christmas personally.
Okay, this is. I definitely wouldn't. this is where it gets really difficult.
Because I think the top three are a lock. I think the three at the top are. We'll have a discussion about them in a minute. For me personally, I would have Home Alone over White Christmas, but you definitely wouldn't. So it's, if you just look at the average ratings, then yeah, it's fair that Home Alone's 5 and sort of White Christmas is then 4. But yeah. I'm just, I'd like to say that my personal list, Home Alone would be higher than White Christmas. Not by much, but yeah, I find it more enjoyable to watch, but I do really like White Christmas as well. So Home Alone 5, White Christmas 4. Now it gets interesting. Because if we go just on average, Die Hard would be 3, but you've got it as a 5, and it's,
yes,
well, you're in your own personal rankings, you're tossing up between Claws and Die Hard. And in my own personal rankings, I have Claws as a 5 and nothing else as a 5. I have both It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard as a 4.5. So this is the discussion. This is the thing. I would watch Die Hard again before I watch It's a Wonderful Life, but I do think that It's a Wonderful Life is a better Christmas film. You've went silent.
I'm thinking, I really liked A Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. I just don't think it's that Christmassy.
So we're arguing about two films that aren't all that Christmassy, being 2 and 3.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you might argue that Die Hard should be 1.
I would not. If we're talking about top 10 Christmas films, Claus is for me, still going to be higher than Die Hard. Probably, I think, I mean, it's going to be anyway, because the average, I would be enough, fuck, maybe I would still put Die Hard up at number one, but like, it's average rating, so that isn't going to happen anyway, and I think Claus does
it's so. Average rating, so that we can start talking about it. I think Claus, so this is what happened on the Halloween special, is the black phone came out of nowhere with an RKO and took me right out. Claus done exactly the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not often, well, in fact, this is the only time that both of us have given a film 5 out of 5 on the podcast. So I think it has to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be.
Like, this is a problem. Like, even though you're a big fan of Die Hard, if you were to tell somebody, like, oh, tell me a film to watch this Christmas,
I would say Claus.
See what I mean? So it has to be number one.
I'd have to say Claus.
So, but it boils like, down.
Most people
to,
have probably seen Die Hard already.
Right, so it boils down to It's a Wonderful Life or Die Hard in 2 and 3.
Right. This is gonna be hard. I genuinely.
I've rated them both the same. To be honest with you, I like both of them.
I would put Die Hard above, but I'm guessing you'd probably put It's a Wonderful Life.
If we're talking higher. About Christmas films, yes. If we're talking about actual films, no. Like if we're talking about like films in general, like I said, I'd watch Die Hard over It's a Wonderful Life probably 7 times out of 10. Like if I was to watch these films, it would be like a 70-30 split.
So how do we decide this?
I don't know. Well. I mean, I've already lost because the films that I wanted in the top 10 were never making it now. So, I mean, and putting Die Hard at 2, is it really me losing? No, because I really like the film anyway. But there's just something about It's a Wonderful Life. I think they're not obviously both action films. Like one's kind of like a weird 40s fantasy element. Sort of drama, and one's an action film, but they both do really live and die in the performance of the lead, and they're both really strong, and they're both great performances, and I think the cast surrounding them are all really good as well. Like even though It's a Wonderful Life isn't an action film, there's a definitive baddie, the same as Die Hard. Do you know, George Bailey's married and has a happy family. John McClane isn't, but he is married and has a family. There's quite a lot of similarities, although they're really different films. It's quite funny. They're both quite abrasive characters, you know. One's a New York cop, one's kind of being run down by just the life that he kind of fell into. And they both kind of are nice people at the core, and they want to help and save people. It's quite strange when you kind of think out loud like this, isn't it? But if you, I'll let you decide. I'll give you this one.
Really?
Yeah. This isn't the fight I want to have, to be honest with you. I like both of the films equally, so I'm quite happy to put Die Hard at 2 and It's a Wonderful Life at 3. But yeah, I would.
I can just see so many people coming for my throat.
Too bad. I don't think they will. I think there's a lot.
It's not a Crash Smash film. How fucking dare! Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
There's loads of people that will say Die Hard's a Christmas film, and yeah, this isn't the hill that I'll die on today. I like both of them equally, so I'm quite happy. Like you've look, that's the tiebreaker. Realistically, although his average rating is slightly lower than It's a Wonderful Life, you've put Die Hard as a 5 and I've given it a 4.5. We both put It's a Wonderful Life as a 4.5. It's just, that's how what happens when you kind of do averages. In fact, that's actually a lie. I've made that wrong. This should be...
Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't think I've done it right. I think Die Hard should be...
higher.
I think it should be 4.75.
Ah, right. So, right.
Well, what's 9.5 divided by 2?
Alexa. Oh, okay, well, Alexa's not working.
Imagine doing that in the podcast. Oh, Alexa.
I know. Right, sorry, I'll shut up in a second. Apologies, everyone.
Yeah, 4.75. Die Hard should technically be above It's a Wonderful Life. I fucked up on the spreadsheet that I'm looking at. Yeah, it's fine. That's definitive. It is definitive. We have settled on it. The list is in.
Right.
Quick recap before we end this episode. What do you want to do? 1 to 10, 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
So at number 10, we have Jingle All the Way. At number 9, we have How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Number 8, we have The Night Before. At number 7, we have Disney's A Christmas Carol. Number 6, we have The Christmas Chronicles. Number 5 is Home Alone. Number 4, White Christmas. Number 3, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 2, Die Hard. And number 1 is the wonderful and magic film Claus.
I am happy with that list.
I think there's enough of a mix of different kind of films in it as well, which I'm quite happy with.
Yes.
And it's the same with the sort of Halloween special. I think we ended up with an actual quite a well-rounded top 10. So we've done a good job. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure doing this special and taking a deep dive into all of these Christmas films. I've fairly enjoyed it. I'm just glad that I don't have to edit this episode to come out.
No, I'm having fun with
you. Will be having fun. It's quite long. It's like the length of a main series episode.
It'll be long. It'll be longer.
You think so? I don't think so. I mean, but the main series.
You think so?
The main series.
You'll have two trailers in it.
Oh, in fact, yeah. But you'll be able to cut some stuff out, though.
I mean, I think there's a lot of Die Hard stuff that can get cut out.
Yeah, anyway, we're not digressing. Let's not make it longer. I mean, as long as it's under 2 hours, which was The Godfather's length, then it's not.
It'll be under 2 hours.
The longest podcast. But we decided to do, instead of individual film episodes, because this one was going out on Christmas Eve, to just combine it all together, which might actually work. I mean, if you don't want to listen to it, fair. I'm pretty sure the people that
maybe
are interested.
Maybe put in the description timestamps.
Oh, you
maybe
could.
Maybe put timestamps of.
Well. That is up to you.
Where things go. I might do that.
Well, there we go. Anyway, that is it for Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. We have brought you 23 Christmas films, and to be honest with you, I've enjoyed watching most of them. Most of them have been better than average. There's 5 or so that are a bit shit, but apart from that, yeah, Christmas films are actually really quite enjoyable, and they're quite fun to watch. So yeah.
So I've got one question just before we end. What did you prefer, Halloween or Christmas this year?
This is weird. Fucking hell. Probably Halloween.
Yeah.
I saw some
good films in Christmas. Like Claus was fantastic.
I had a lot of fun with the Halloween films.
Halloween was a lot of fun, yeah.
Also, I just want to point out, though, that Claus is probably the best film I've watched this year. So if we're looking at that aspect, then, yeah. I mean, I think the best films came at Christmas, but I think as an overall package, I think Halloween was slightly better. It was maybe a bit smoother there as well. But, yeah, we are in the early stages of the podcast. I mean, we've only been doing it for a few months, well, since May or something. But yeah, that is it for this special. Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. We will be back with you in the new year. Going to take a couple of weeks off and rest our weary brains. But yeah, now we'll be back at it with the main series in 2023, and we'll be looking to get some amazing guests on. If we can get people or top people into coming on and chatting about films with us, that would be pretty cool. And like I've said before, if you're interested and you're a listener to the podcast and you fancy maybe chatting to us about one of the films on our 100 must-see cult films poster on the main series, drop us a DM on Instagram. We are at Cult Film Cafe on Instagram, Twitter, and You can find us on Twitch. We are twitch.tv/cultfilmcafe. And yeah, you should know where to find the podcast by now. I say it on every episode. And if you're struggling, just search for us in Google and you'll find links to all of the pages associated with the podcast. So yeah, it's been an absolute blast. This episode's been rather long, but I have enjoyed it. Die Hard's a really good film. Scrooge, it's maybe taken a bit of a hit, and it's kind of annoyed me a wee bit. But yeah, it's been a blast. So, arrivederci from me.
And goodbye from me. Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a very happy, dappy Christmas, and get a lot of presents. And ho, ho, ho. I don't know what I'm saying, but just, yeah, have a good Christmas, everyone. It's been a bit rough of a year sometimes this year, but hopefully next year's better. Who knows, but we'll see. Happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. And immortal words of John McClane, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Podcast out.